In the 1980s, the creation of cable television in the US flipped the fortunes of one seriously declining industry, professional wrestling. Wrestling franchises started to pop up all over the world, particularly successful in America, where there was suddenly big money to be made out of creating events for TV. Now, one of those wrestling franchises has become the subject of a new TV series.
So what are you, like a real actor?
Yeah. Done a bunch of plays in Omaha. I did a film a few years back. I've also done extensive mask work and clowning workshops. How much acting will there be on this show?
As opposed to what?
Hair pulling.
You don't like wrestling?
Well, I don't really know wrestling.
You don't think wrestling is acting?
I'm sorry, are you hiring actors to play wrestlers, or are we the wrestlers?
Yes.
Yes. GLOW, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, is on Netflix now. Dan Barrett is a bit of a fan, I think. He's an online editor at SBS and our regular TV correspondent. Did I verbal you then, Dan?
You did. Look, I'm a huge fan of it, though. You got me completely pegged on this one.
Okay.
It's great.
So, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, GLOW, is it a true story?
So what it's really doing is, throughout the 80s, there was an attempt to try to combat the success, or maybe not combat, but really just tap into the success of the popularity of wrestling at the time. Mm. Remember Hulk Hogan was a big
sure.
thing back
World
in the
Series
day.
World Series Wrestling, all that.
Exactly, the Vince McMahon leagues.
Killer Kowalski I grew up on.
So there was an attempt to capitalize on that. So they thought, look, we've got access to US cable, let's make a show which is about gorgeous ladies of wrestling. So there were women there from, I think, 1986 to about 1990, ran for about 100-odd episodes, and it was just a real sort of, I guess, sort of slightly sleazy attempt to try to, you know, put some women in leotards up there and try to tap into that wrestling. This doesn't really use the real-life people, but rather it's used the idea of the show as the springboard for a drama comedy.
As a subculture. It's created by the same person who created Orange is the New Black. So do they have... Yeah. That was a particular subculture too. Do they have similarities?
So Jenji Kohan, who created Orange is the New Black, and she's the executive producer on this, some of the writers from that program went and created this show. And what you've got is a show that kind of embodies, I guess, what Orange is the New Black was trying to do for a few years there, which is tell stories about women, what it means to be a woman, the ways that very sort of socioeconomic issues impact upon the way that a woman presents herself to the world, how she's perceived, and I guess how that can actually determine what she does in life. And so you're really looking at sort of very similar figures to those that were in the prison in that drama series. Mm. But it's sort of set in the 80s, and it's maybe a little bit more relatable because it's women of whom haven't committed a crime to go in there, but they're still suffering a lot of the same issues of which the women in that show were going through. So it's...
Do you need to be a wrestling fan to like it?
Not at all. I'm not a wrestling fan by any means.
Go on.
But this show, it's very much, it's about the women, it's about telling their stories. But there is a great moment in, I think, episode 4, where you've got one of the characters who's not a wrestling fan, she doesn't understand it at all, and that episode actually goes out of its way to explain why you should maybe sort of reconsider wrestling. And so it sort of couches it in a framework of soap operas
right.
and the way they stories tell there.
It's about the women, but I noticed that Mark Maron is on it now. If you don't know Mark Maron, he's a stand-up comedian, but he's a huge podcaster. Podcasts, the most famous and popular people in America, really, including Barack Obama at one point.
So the host of the WTF podcast. Off the back of that, he had his own TV show called Maron, which he did for about 4 or 5 years. The joke with the show that all the critics have really picked up on, while he was playing himself in that show, he's actually so much better at playing a different version of himself in this program. So keep an eye on that. He's amazing in this.
All right. The other show you're bringing us this morning is on Netflix's main rival, Stan. It's called Preacher. What's Preacher about?
So Preacher was a comic book series throughout the 90s, really well regarded. It's very dirty, it's very lewd and sort of out there and wild. It's about a Texan preacher of whom finds that, it's weird convoluted backstory, but in 25 words or less, an angel and a devil ended up having sex. The offspring has decided to leave heaven and has merged with this preacher in Texas. So he's now got the ability to have what they call the word of God, and he can walk up to anyone and tell them to do something and they just do it. God in this show has decided that he's concerned about the idea of something new being created that he wasn't involved in. And so he's quit heaven, and the entire show is about this preacher, his vampire friend and his hit woman girlfriend. And they're essentially on this big road trip across the US to try to find God and get some answers.
Right. I'm not even going to ask whether that's going to offend people who are religious, because I know the answer to that already, I'm sure. But comic books, talking of comic book series, you mentioned this in the past. I caught up with Riverdale on a plane the other day.
Yeah.
And I know it's the opposite of Preacher. It's not dirty. It's not lewd. It's very teen. But it's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that while you're looking at Preacher as being the complete opposite to Archie, It's kind of working on the same sort of thing where it's very much about telling stories in a way which is a heightened reality.
Mm.
So, I mean, you said there that you're not going to ask if religious people will be offended by it. I don't think they should be offended by it because it is so ridiculous and over the top that it's dealing with sort of fundamental ideas without really sort of touching upon that sort of core essence.
Okay.
But you can get to a core essence with emotion and storytelling, which is what Archie does.
So yeah, broader themes.
They work on separate sort of...
Universal themes, yeah. Your picks for this week on the TV schedule, Dan?
Look, I wanted to highlight, and this may not be a popular choice within this building, but Screenplay, which is some of the former Good Game guys who've gone off to make a show for Channel 7.
Mm-hmm.
This is debuting on Thursday night at 10 p.m. on 7 Mate. Weird time slot, but it's a pretty niche show about video games and video game culture. But this is one to look at because as we're looking at broadcast networks, the commercial networks at least, of whom are looking for new ways to make money, Channel 7 are using this as a way to tap into esports, which is essentially video game leagues of people playing games. There's big money to be had there, so one to watch. San Andreas, which is a really ridiculous movie starring The Rock. It's on Saturday night at 7:30. The reason to watch, it was shot in Brisbane, and as a former Brisbane guy, it is hilarious watching some of the areas representing San Andreas in this. If you want to see Brisbane destroyed by an earthquake, this is the movie for you. And Masters of Sex, the final episode of that, Thursday night, 11 p.m. on SBS.
Dan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dan Barrett, online editor at SBS and our regular TV guy. You're listening to RM Breakfast.